My favorite part of that video is the part where the person texted, I tried, but I don't think I'm doing it right. A few years ago, I was in Southern California, and it was a pretty awesome experience. We were there for a wedding, my friend's wedding, and we were hanging out, and I guess when you're in Southern California, you always want to go to In-N-Out Burger. Anybody know about In-N-Out Burger? Has anybody ever heard of this? And I have been there. There's a few hands raised around the room. So I have been there a few times before. I had been there before to Southern California when I was touring, and we had been to In-N-Out Burger before, and I'll never forget the first time I went to In-N-Out Burger. And maybe those of you who have been before, you recognize this, but like I went with my friend Glenn, who had been multiple times to In-N-Out Burger, and he kept talking about how awesome it was, about how amazing In-N-Out Burger was, and how I had to have some In-N-Out Burger in my life, right? And so I went with him, and we went up to order at In-N-Out Burger. I don't know if you've had this experience, but I went up to order, and Glenn went first, and he was like, all these words started coming out of his mouth, like, and I was like, what are you? I'd never heard anybody. He was like, I need this gorilla style and every other jungle woods, or I don't know what he was saying, but he was saying all these other things as he was ordering, and I had no idea. It was like he was speaking another language. Has anybody ever been to In-N-Out Burger and had that experience? Like there's a whole other language, and it's not, when you order like stuff at In-N-Out Burger, it's not on the menu. Like, there, you don't see gorilla style anywhere on the menu. The only way you know about that is if you have some kind of secret insider knowledge of In-N-Out Burger that you know whenever you walk up to the stand to order it. And so the whole experience was so weird. I was like, what am I? And then I got my burger, and I took a bite of my burger, and I ate some of the French fries, and I thought to myself, have these people never been to Whataburger? Have they never been? Like, what's the big deal? Like, am I missing something? Like, I don't understand. You guys keep talking about how amazing this is and how I'm supposed to have this, like, cosmic experience when I eat this In-N-Out Burger, and I totally didn't have that. In fact, I thought, you know what I mean? Like, not that great. I mean, I've had better. You know, that's kind of was my experience. I didn't have this kind of powerful, you know, experience when I went to In-N-Out Burger. And, you know, I was thinking about, as I was preparing for the message this morning, I was thinking about that experience because I think that that's how some folks who were here this morning, right, some of you this morning and some of you on the live stream, some of you have had that experience in church, right? You came to church and everybody was like saying these words and you'd never heard them before. And you're like, what is that? Gorilla style? What? I don't know what you're talking about right now. And then the music was playing and there were some people and they were like raising their hands and they were just getting into it. And you're sitting here going, what is going on here? I don't know what's happening. Why is that person doing that? Or maybe you've been to a church where like every other people were kneeling, then they were standing, then they were kneeling, then they were standing. You're like, man, my knees can't even do that. What's happening here? Right? And then sometimes you can see these people and they're all around you and they're having this experience, right? I mean, one person's got their hand over their heart and there's a tear coming down their cheek and you're like, I don't understand, right? I don't get it. I'm in the same room with this person and I don't feel anything, right? And you think to yourself, maybe I'm doing it wrong, right? That's what I thought. Maybe I ordered my In-N-Out Burger wrong because it wasn't good, right? So I thought maybe I made a mistake. And some of us are ready to like wad the whole church experience up, the whole Christianity experience up and throw it away because we keep coming, we keep trying it out, but we're not feeling anything. And it feels like things are happening for other people and they're not happening for us, right? And if that's where you are this morning, I want you to know I'm so glad that you've come because I believe that the Lord God Almighty wants to reveal himself to you in some real and powerful ways. There's some truth that you're supposed to hear this morning. And so I'm so glad you're here. And we're going to talk about what to do, right, whenever we want to experience the love of God, whenever we're here trying to get all of this and somehow we feel like we're missing something. Somehow we're not experiencing all of it, right? You know what it's like. You've been around somebody who's like, you know, I was just pulling into the Walmart parking lot the other day and it was so full and I just prayed to the Lord God. I said, Lord, give me a parking space right up front, right? And lo and behold, you know, somebody was pulling their excursion right out, right there, right when I was pulling up, and I pulled right in there, right? You ever had that experience? And you're like, man, every time I go to Walmart, you know, I'm parking like way back in the back. I'm walking 2 miles just to get up there. And by the time I get there, I'm covered in sweat and I don't even want to shop anymore, right? So what's happening here, right? And we're around other people and it feels like stuff's happening. It feels like they're feeling stuff. It feels like they're experiencing things sometimes that we're not experiencing. Don't raise your hand, because really, how many of you have experienced like the presence of God this morning? Like you feel like you have experienced the presence of God. Just think about it. Don't raise your hand because I don't think I want to see that. But how many of you experienced the presence of God this morning? How many of you come to church every week? How many of you experienced the presence of God in one of our church services in the past month? You would say, yeah, I experienced it. I mean, if you didn't, right, then whose fault is that? Is it the pastor's fault? Is it the worship leader's? Maybe it's Jeremy's fault. Let's just blame it on Jeremy. Everybody blames it on the worship leader, right? I mean, whose fault is that? What happens when you don't experience? How would you know if you did? How do you know when you walk out of here? How do you know you experienced it? Was it because you got goosebumps, right? Is it because there was like a little tingle, chill that went up your spine? I mean, how do you know that you experienced the presence of God when you were worshiping? How do you know that? I think those are questions that a lot of us ask. And some of us have been asking those questions, and we've been asking them to the point where now we don't know if this thing is working for us. We don't know if this whole church and Christianity thing, we don't know if it's working because we're not experiencing goosebump God. Well, I've got good news for you this morning. Goosebump God does not exist. All during these past few weeks, we've been talking about these different reasons why we sometimes will walk away from the faith, right? These reasons why we sometimes doubt. And today, we're going to talk about the one reason why people walk away is because they just aren't feeling anything, just not experiencing anything, and they don't understand why. So let's just talk about that this morning, right? Let's just get into it, and let's talk about it. Because how do we know if we've experienced the love of God? Did we get goosebumps? Sitting next to a girl you like can give you goosebumps, right? I still get goosebumps when I'm hanging out with Amy, right? How do you know you experienced the presence of God? Is it a feeling of peace in your inner soul? Well, you know, gosh, if I set the lighting just right, you know, you can experience some inner peace, you know? Is it because you cried? Well, good Lord, I watch a YouTube video about puppies and I'm crying. I don't know about you, like maybe that can't be it, right? So what is it? Well, I want to say to you this morning, if you feel like you don't always feel the presence of God, if you don't always feel His presence, right, then you're not alone. And if you're here this morning and you're like, man, I haven't felt the presence of God in a while, and maybe and you're wondering if maybe you should just walk away from faith because maybe it's not real because you haven't felt anything in a while, if that's where you are this morning, I just want you to know you are not alone. We read earlier from Psalm chapter 13, and in Psalm chapter 13, King David is writing about this experience, right? He's writing about an experience where he is wondering if God is present, if God is real, because he's not sensing or feeling the presence of God. And so here's what he says in Psalm chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. He's crying out to the Lord, right? He's crying out to the Lord in Psalm 13, 1 and 2. And he says, "Oh Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand?" And so here's David, and he's calling out to the Lord, and he's saying, "Look, God, I haven't felt your presence in a while. How long are you going to leave me here? How long are you going to forget me here?" And I think there's somebody here who can totally relate to David's experience. Like, that's how you feel this morning. I mean, David was in the valley of the shadow, right? He was anointed the king, right? And as soon as he was anointed king, Samuel goes and anoints him king. The only problem was there was another king, right? And as soon as David gets anointed king, he's on the run. He's running for his life. And we believe that Psalm 13 might have been written during one of these times where he's running from Saul, trying to survive after the Lord has promised that he'll be king. And he's like, "What is going on, Lord? I don't get it." Right? Anybody ever been there? It's not just David. Paul, the Apostle Paul, right? The Apostle Paul saw a vision where Jesus appeared to him and called him, right? And saved him. And but then after that, guys, as soon as he starts preaching the name of Jesus, people are trying to kill him. He has to be his first preaching, like his first time preaching. After he finished, they had to lower him down in a basket outside the walls of the city because everybody in the city was trying to kill him. Call that guy as your pastor sometime. Can you imagine? And he spent his whole life on the run. He was stoned and left for dead. He was shipwrecked. He was whipped. He was beaten. He experienced all kinds of hardship. And I'm sure there were times. But at one point in his life, he says he was caught up into the third heaven. He had this amazing experience. But at other times in his life, there was nothing. I mean, he was stoned and left for dead. All kinds of crazy things were happening to him. I'm sure he cried out to the Lord, like, Lord, what's going on? I'm not experiencing the reality of your presence like I was at these other times. What's happening? And guys, you remember we've talked several times about Jesus Christ. Jesus, the night before he died, goes into the garden and he's praying to the Lord. Let this cup pass from me, but I want your will, not my own. And then when he's hanging on the cross, you remember what he says? My God, why have you forsaken me? Even our Savior Jesus knows what it's like to feel like alone, abandoned even by God, forsaken by God. He said that prayer on the cross. So if you're feeling that way this morning, I want you to be encouraged. You're not alone. Lots of people throughout history have felt that way. People whose experiences are actually recorded for us in the Bible. And not only them, there's some famous Christians that you might know who have had the same experience. Mother Teresa, who's one of my heroes in Christian ministry, right? She started the Sisters of Charity in Calcutta, and she cared for people on the streets of India who were dying, right? That was her ministry. And amazing ministry. That ministry has changed the lives of hundreds of people over the course of her life. But one time she wrote to her spiritual mentor. She said, Jesus has a very special love for you, because he was talking about his prayer life. He said, Jesus has a very special love for you. As for me, the silence and emptiness is so great that I look and do not see, listen and do not hear. The tongue moves in prayer, but does not speak. She felt alone, abandoned by God. C.S. Lewis, and probably nobody in the 20th century has had a greater influence on Christian thought than C.S. Lewis, but he wrote this. During one of the most painful times of his life, he cried out to the Lord, and this is what he says he got. A door slammed in my face, a sound bolting and double bolting inside, and after that, silence. The silence was so profound that it made him doubt whether God even existed. He wrote this. He said, there are no lights in the windows. It might be an empty house. Was it ever inhabited? It seemed so once. Why is God so present a commander in our time of prosperity and so very absent in a time of trouble? Can anybody relate to that? Anybody going through a time of trouble right now and you feel abandoned, right? You feel like that you're crying out to the Lord and you're not hearing anything in return. You're not feeling the presence of God. Let's talk about it. Why don't we always feel the presence of God? Why don't we? Look with me, if you would, to John chapter 6, verse 30. John chapter 6, verse 30. Here's what it says. These people are questioning Jesus. They're hanging out with Jesus, and they're questioning him. They've got all kinds of issues. He's teaching them, and he's kind of working his way through all these truths with them as they kind of go back and forth with him. And some of them are trying to trap him. Some of them are trying to get him caught and get him arrested. But he gets down to this point, and the people that he's talking to in verse 30, John chapter 6, verse 30, says, so they asked him, what sign... In verse 30, they answered, show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? That's what they said. What can you do? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. And so they're crying out to Jesus, why don't you show us what you can do? And sometimes, guys, we're the same way. Anybody ever been in a really dark time in your life or a time where you needed to make a decision and you just held your Bible up to the Lord? Lord, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to open this Bible and I'm just going to start reading, and wherever it is, I hope that there's truth there, right? You just reveal yourself. Have you ever done that? you know? And it opens up to like, you know, Leviticus or Ecclesiastes or someplace like that, and you're reading through, and you're like, this has nothing to do with what I'm going through, you know? Like you're expecting the Lord, I'm going to open my Bible. Tell me whether to date this girl or not. Just open my Bible up and you just tell me, right? And we want for God to show us a sign like that sometimes. And sometimes it feels like he doesn't do it. And so one reason why we may not always feel God, it may be because we're just over-sensationalizing it, right? It may be that we're expecting for angels to appear or for there to be some kind of neon arrow that lights up in the sky that says, go this way, right? Maybe we're experiencing some kind of a crazy miracle to happen in our lives, you know? And guys, look, I have had experiences in my life where I've experienced the presence of God, where God has moved in my heart and where God has spoken to me. But y'all, I'm a pastor, right? My life is about studying the scriptures and communicating the scriptures. That's what my life is about. And I can count the number of times that's happened in my life on one hand. Most of what happens in my life, most of my journey with the Lord is these ordinary things, these ordinary processes of life where the Lord is at work. There's a book that I want you all to read. I wish everybody could read this book. It's called 1,000 Gifts. It's by an author named Ann Voskamp. And if you're following along in your notes in YouVersion, there's actually a link to the book in your YouVersion notes. And you can go out there and check it out. But she writes this book, and it's so profound. To make a long story really short, like she had been through some really difficult experiences, painful experiences in her life, and she was struggling with doubt in her own life, with her relationship with God. And what she decided to do is she's just going to take a notebook, and she was going to carry it around with her all day long. And every time she saw something that the Lord was doing, every time she saw something that she should be thankful for, she was just going to write it down. A gift from God, a blessing from God, evidence that God was at work in her life. She's going to write it down in her notebook. And the process of doing that radically transformed her heart and her life. Because at first she wrote down big things, you know, like, you know, her mile marker moments in her kid's life or mile marker moments in her marriage. And we see God working in all these big things. But as she kept writing them down, she started to notice these little things. Like the sunrise from your back porch in West Texas, early in the morning. Like the feeling of a warm cup of coffee on a cold day. Like sitting next to your spouse at night, hanging out, watching TV. All these little moments that we experience that where we know that God is at work, where God has blessed us, we're thankful for those times. They're evidence of what God is doing in our lives. And sometimes when we're over-sensationalizing it, we're looking for some kind of great miracle like these people in John chapter 6, where we're missing all of the little things that God was doing in our lives already. I mean, y'all, in John chapter 6, Jesus had already performed a bunch of miracles. He'd already done all kinds of crazy things, healed all kinds of people. He'd already done all these amazing things that these people had seen, and yet they were still asking for a sign. Our lives are full of miracles. Don't believe me? How many of you guys have met my wife? Have you met my wife? Have you spent any time with her, right? Have you talked to her at all? Guys, it is a miracle that I'm married to her, y'all. That's evidence of God's miraculous power. Why else in the world would she choose to marry me? I'm just telling you, right? If you need evidence of a miracle, just talk with Amy for a little while and you'll be like, yep, the Lord must have done that, right? That's the only way that could happen. There's all kinds. Our lives are full of miracles. Every conversation I have with my daughters, they're miracles. I can't believe what God's doing in their life. They're fascinating, amazing creatures that God has created. And the women that they're growing up into, man, I didn't do that. The Holy Spirit of God is doing that. I don't deserve that. All of the things that come in and out of my life, all these blessings, right? They're from the Lord. They're evidence of his mercy. And your life is full of evidences of God's mercy too, even when things are hard. Even when things are painful. Like anybody, right? When we're going through pain, sometimes all we can see is pain, right? All we can see is the place on us that hurts. But the reality is there's all kinds of good things happening all around us in our lives if we'll open up our eyes to see it, if we'll stop looking for the sensational miracle and start to realize that so much of what's happening all around us are sensational miracles. So maybe we're over-sensationalizing it. Maybe that's part of it. It's kind of like the guy who prayed. Have you heard this story? You heard about the guy who prayed. A flood was coming in his town, so he climbs up on his roof. He's like, Lord, save me from this flood. I need you to save me. I'm trusting you to deliver me, right? A few minutes later, a four-wheel drive comes down the street by his house, calls up to him. Hey, man, we're getting out of here. You want to come down? You want to come down here? We'll get you out of here. And he said, No. Don't worry. I prayed, and the Lord God is going to deliver me from this. I'm going to sit up here on my rooftop, and the Lord's going to deliver me from it. They're like, okay. They took off. So the waters rise. Later on, a John boat, you know, comes down the street by his house, comes down, calls up to him. Hey, man, we're getting people out of here. Do you want to climb down? We'll get you out of here. We'll get you to safety. He's like, no. Don't worry about it. I prayed. The Lord God is going to deliver me from this. He's going to deliver me. I'm just waiting for his deliverance. And they're like, okay. They drove off, right? And then later on, a helicopter. I mean, the water's up to the top of his roof. Helicopter flies by, drops a ladder down. Says, hey, we're getting people out of here. We'll fly you to safety. Grab onto the ladder, man. We'll get you out of here. He's like, no. I prayed about it. The Lord God's going to deliver me, okay? Don't worry about it. Y'all go on without me. God's coming for me, right? Well, then later on, the man drowns, okay? Waters come up, man drowns. He gets to heaven. He goes up to the Lord. He's like, Lord, what happened? I asked you to deliver me. I trusted you to deliver me. Why didn't you deliver me? The Lord's like, what are you talking about? I sent you a truck and a boat and a helicopter, you know? And sometimes that's us, y'all, waiting on the Lord to deliver us. And he's doing all these amazing things in our lives that we are not paying attention to. So don't over-sensationalize it. How about this, though? Maybe we're over-sensationalizing it, but maybe our hearts are hardened. Maybe that's what's going on. Look at Matthew chapter 13, verses 14 through 15. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is teaching. And when we get to verse 14, he's going to quote the book of Isaiah here. And he's talking to his core disciples, and he's teaching them about the kingdom of heaven, and he's teaching them they're wanting to understand things, and he's saying, yeah, these secrets have been revealed to you, but there's a lot of other people who can't understand this. And he gets to verse 14, he says, this fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear. They've closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. And Isaiah is writing this prophecy about Israel because Israel had walked away from God. Israel had chosen to live in such a way that they had alienated themselves from relationship with God. They'd chosen other things over the Lord. And because of that, right, here's Jesus. He shows up, right, in the presence of his people, and he's teaching them. These are people who had all the scripture. They had all the knowledge. They had every reason to be able to recognize Jesus as the Messiah, and yet they didn't. And it was because it fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah where Isaiah said these people have hardened their hearts. They can't hear because they've hardened their hearts. And I just want to suggest somebody here this morning may not be feeling the presence of God, right? Because you've become comfortable with sin in your life. And I don't know what that sin is. Maybe gossip. Maybe it's gluttony. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's adultery. But there's something going on in your life right now, and you have chosen that over the Lord God. Maybe you're not feeling something because your heart's hard. That happens to us sometimes. So I just want to challenge all of us. Let's just ask the Lord. Let's just ask him, is there anything in my life that's keeping me from being able to hear you and experience you? You guys ever watch a Green Bay Packers football game in December? You guys ever watch that? Or a Minnesota Vikings game, the NFC North? Like, one of my bucket list goals is to go to a Green Bay Packers game in Lambeau Field and watch a game there. It's like the, you know, the mecca of professional football. I want to make a pilgrimage there and watch football. But it has to be in December. I'm not going in September when it's nice and warm up in Green Bay. I need to go in December when it's like -3 degrees. You know what I'm talking about? And there's snow coming down. Like, that's when I want to go watch it. But if you watch those games on TV, you know what you'll see sometimes? You'll see these morons up there in the stands, and they're not wearing a shirt, right? And they've got like a hat on, and their chest is painted, right? And they're standing up in the stands yelling like crazy people. And I remember when I was a kid, I would ask my granddad, how in the world can those people do that? And he would, a knowing smile would come over his face, and he'd be like, well, you know, they have, there's some substances that those folks have used to help them to tolerate the cold. You know what I'm talking about? They had some liquid courage going on, and that's how come they could get out there in the cold and they could cheer and yell and scream. And some of them probably have frostbite after the game, but they were having fun during the game, you know? Because that's what alcohol can do, right? It can dull your senses. And so, and if you drink too much and then you go to a Green Bay Packers football game, you won't know how cold it is. And the next thing you know, you've got frostbite, right? It makes you not able to feel the cold, right? Guys, that's what sin does in our lives. It dulls our senses so that we sometimes can't feel the sickness that's creeping into our hearts. And it makes us unable to hear the guidance and the wisdom of God, where he's trying to tell us, hey, look, you're headed for trouble, right? You're headed for disaster. You have got to change your path. And there's somebody here this morning, that's where you are. That's where you are. You're not experiencing the presence of God because you've become comfortable with sin in your life. And this right now is God's wake-up call to you. You're on a path for destruction. Stop. Please. Turn around. Because this way leads to death. So maybe we're over-sensationalizing it. Maybe our hearts are hard. But how about this? Maybe God wants to draw us closer. Maybe God wants to draw us closer to himself. Look at Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, we're going to look at verses 24 through 27. And this is in the middle of Paul's sermon. Paul is preaching a sermon, and he's preaching it to the Greeks. He's preaching on Mars Hill, and so he's trying to communicate to all these people who've never heard of Jesus before the truth of Christ, right? And he gets down to verse 24, and he's describing God. And he says, he is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he's the Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. Listen to this. From one man, verse 26, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determines their boundaries. And here it is. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he's not far from any of us. Last night, I was going to bed, okay, and I turned off the light in our room because we have this lamp that's lit on one side. Amy was already in bed asleep. That's normally how it happens. I'm a later owl than Amy. So I walked in, I turned off the light, and y'all, it was real dark in our room. And I, you know, we have dog beds. Our dogs sleep in the room. And so we have dog beds in there. We have a big old dog crate for one of my big metal dog crate in the room. And I'm like, you know, I turned off the lights and I was like, oh, you know, I'm trying to get to my bed. And I'd left my phone over. Usually I have my phone with me so I can turn on the little flashlight, but I didn't have it. And so I'm like literally feeling my way through the room, trying to get to the safety of my bed. And I remember one time I was doing something like that at my sister-in-law's house, and I stubbed my toe on the end of the bed. Has anybody ever done that? And Amy still gives me a hard time because I stubbed my toe on the bed, and I didn't want to say things that were unpastorly. And so, you know, so I was like,
you know, and it was just all under my breath, you know. And Amy still makes fun of me because it sounded like I was crying like a girl. I was not crying like a girl. Okay, I stubbed my toe and it hurt really bad. And I was trying to be godly in that moment. That's what was going on. I'm not crying, you're crying. That's how I felt, right? But sometimes we're stumbling around in the dark. That's how it feels. And what Paul's saying is, this is what God has done. All of us are stumbling around in the dark, and God is making himself available to us so that we can grope toward him, we can stumble toward him, and we can discover him, because he's not far from any of us. And sometimes when we don't feel the presence of God, when we don't feel the presence of God with us, right, it's because God is drawing us closer to himself. He wants us to reach for him. He wants us to stumble toward him because he's right there. And this morning, there's somebody in the room where you feel like God is so far away, and you haven't heard from God in so long, and you feel like you're stumbling around in the dark, and you're upset, or you're angry with God because you're stumbling around in the dark right now. And what I would say to you is that sometimes we're stumbling around in the dark because God wants us to reach for him, because he wants for us to discover him in the darkness. The children of Israel, they wandered around the desert for 40 years, right? Because when God's presence was with them and he was performing all these miracles, he's doing all these amazing things, like, they kept turning away from him. And it was when they were stumbling around in the dark that they were able to find him. And even in the early history of Israel, like they would abandon God, they would run away from God, and then all these tormentors would attack, and they would feel like the presence of God was far away from them when they were under attack, right? And then they would call out to God, and he would send the judge, and his presence would be manifest among them. He would perform miracles, and he would deliver them, right? And they would be, oh, thank you, Lord. And then they would once again, they would walk away from the Lord. And so then all these crazy things would happen, and then they would call out to him again, right? And some of us, that's where we are this morning. Like, we're stumbling around in the dark, and the one reason for that, maybe because God wants for us to reach for him. And it could be this morning that's where you are. You know what the good news is that Paul just said? He's not ever far from any of us. And he's close to you this morning. No matter how far you feel from him, he's close to you. He's standing right next to you, and he's waiting to deliver you. He's just waiting for you to turn to him. And it may be that that's why we feel like we're not experiencing God. Here's another one. Maybe God wants to draw you closer. But what about this? Maybe it's just not time yet. There's an awesome passage in John chapter 11. And some of you know the story, right? Jesus is teaching in John chapter 11, the people in Jerusalem are after him, and he's hanging out with his disciples, and in John chapter 11 verse 1, it starts off with a man named Lazarus was sick. And so Jesus is teaching, and here's what happens. John chapter 11 verse 1, a man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother, Lazarus, was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend, did you hear that? Your dear friend is very sick. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No. It happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. And finally, he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. I want you to put yourself in Mary and Martha's position. Mary and Martha and Lazarus were dear friends of Jesus. He stayed at their house whenever he came to visit them. They believed in Jesus. They knew who Jesus was. They knew that he had the power and the ability to heal. And when Lazarus gets sick, they immediately send a message to Jesus. Jesus, come quick. Your dear friend, the one that you love, this person that you care deeply about is sick. Jesus, come quick. And he doesn't come for 2 days. In fact, we hear a little later that by the time Jesus starts to head toward Bethany, right, Lazarus has already died. And here are Mary and Martha in this time of great grief and anxiety, and all they want is the presence of their friend Jesus, who they have put their faith in. All they want is the presence of their friend Jesus, and he's not there. Somebody here this morning, your heart leapt up in you whenever I said that, because that's where you are. Like, all you want is the presence of Jesus in the midst of these painful circumstances that you are in right now, right? You're facing what feels like the end. You can't see your way past this awful, painful thing that you're in the middle of right now. And all you're asking for is the presence of Jesus in the middle of this. You're just asking for the Lord God to show up. And you know it. He's shown up before in your life. He's done things before in your life. You just need him right now. And you keep asking and you keep praying and he keeps not showing up. And it feels like right now you're feeling like, man, you're on the edge. Maybe this isn't even real. Maybe I can't even trust this. Maybe all of this church and Christianity and God stuff, maybe it's useless and worthless, because here I am in my most difficult moment and God's not here with me. Listen, I need you to hear the words that Jesus spoke in this passage of Scripture. Did you hear that? Lazarus's sickness will not end in death. And I want you to hear something. Whatever it is that you're facing, however dark or difficult these days are right now, however painful or hard these moments are that you're in right now, hear the word of the Lord over you today. It will not overcome you. It will not have victory over you. Your sickness will not end in death. It will not. God will be glorified in the midst of your sickness. And if you're praying, asking for the Lord God to show up, and he hasn't shown up yet, it's because it's not time. Jesus could see the bigger picture. Jesus knew all these other things that were going on that Martha and Mary did not know. And when he waited, when he delayed in coming to them, it wasn't because he didn't love them. He loved them deeply. That's what Scripture tells us. Lazarus was his dear friend. He didn't abandon them. He didn't leave them to their grief. That wasn't what he was doing at all. He was going to show up, and he was going to show up at exactly the right time. If you're here this morning and the presence of God has not shown up, you're not feeling the presence of God in your life today, and you keep calling out, let me assure you that Jesus' love for you has never faltered, and it will not falter. And you may not feel his presence right now, but let me tell you something. He is on the way, and victory comes with him. Healing comes with him. He has not abandoned you to your grief. He has not abandoned you to your suffering. He will not. It will not end in death. That's the promise we have in Christ Jesus. And I want you to hear that. I need you to hear that this morning. David says, Lord, have you forgotten me? Have you left me here to die? Are you going to let my enemies gloat over me? Restore the sparkle in my eyes, he says. If you don't restore the sparkle in my eyes, I'm going to die. That's what David says. This is the end, Lord. You don't understand. I'm at the end, and you have abandoned me, and I don't know what I'm going to do next. And then at the very end of that passage in verse 5 and 6, listen to what David says to the Lord, and I want you to hear this. We need to be reminded of this today. In verse 5, he says, but I have trusted in your unfailing love. Do you hear that? I will rejoice because you have rescued me. And then he says this, I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. Y'all, nothing about David's circumstances proved to him that any of that was true. When he looked around, it just looked like death and destruction and sorrow all around him. And he's crying out to the Lord, confessing it to him. And you and I can do the same thing this morning. We can cry out to the Lord. How long are you going to forgive me, Lord? But at the end of it, we got to come to a place where we say, but listen, I will trust in your mercy, God. My heart will rejoice in the joy of your salvation. You have saved me. And I'm going to sing because you've been good to me. Listen to me. I was reminded on Facebook of this moment this past week. I was preaching a revival at my good friend Dennis Hester's church. It was the church that I started in ministry in as a youth minister. Dennis and Susan Hester, two of my greatest friends in the whole world. Their daughter Katie was born with all kinds of severe birth defects. Y'all, I can't even list them. She had, tens, like 20-something surgeries by the time she was 2 or 3 years old. None of her kidneys functioned. All of her internal organs were all messed up. And she was the most precious, most wonderful. When I met Katie, she was 6 years old. The doctors, when she was born, gave her hours to live, right? When I met her, she was 6 years old. She had to have blood transfusions. She had to be on dialysis her whole life because her kidneys never worked. And all throughout the course of her life, you know, she dealt with all of these health, you know, situations over and over again. And I was preaching at First Baptist Church May when Katie was about to enter the eighth grade, right? I was preaching at First Baptist Church May, Texas, and I was sitting in my friend Dennis Hester's office when he got a call from his doctor, from Katie's doctor, and the doctor told him, hey, the kidney transplant is not going to work. She's got too many antibodies built up in her system. And so the last ditch effort that they had made, the Hail Mary that they had made as a family, the medical Hail Mary to save Katie's life is not going to work. She's going to die. It's just a matter of weeks. I was in his office when he heard that. And I sat across the table from my good friend Dennis, and we cried together. Because he knew there was nothing left on this earth that could save his daughter. We read this psalm together. He said, I have trusted in the Lord God Almighty. I will rejoice because he has rescued me, and I will sing to him because he is good. I walked out of that office that day and I grabbed my guitar and I wrote a song about it that maybe one day I'll play for you. But that moment, y'all, that moment, I learned something powerful about the gospel. That even in the dark moments, even in the painful moments, we can trust that God is good. God had been good to Dennis and Susan and Katie. They had all these wonderful days and memories together. God had blessed them. And even in the end of her life, Katie herself would say, I've trusted in the Lord. He has been my rescue. And there's somebody here this morning. It's time for you to stand up in faith and declare. Declare over your circumstances that you will trust in the Lord. That you will rejoice in his rescue. That you will sing because he is good. The band's going to come up here, and that's exactly what we're going to do. You know what song we're going to sing? The Goodness of God. Because God is good. Even when we don't know it, even when we can't feel it, he's good. And he loves you. And it's time for us to declare that together as the people of God. If you're here this morning and you're struggling with sin in your life, there's something going on in your life that's hardened your heart and is keeping you from experiencing the presence of God this morning, it's time for you to lay that down. It's time for you to ask forgiveness. It's time for you to turn away. And let's make this morning that moment. I don't know what you need to do. Maybe this morning you need to just get on your face before the Lord. And whatever it takes, maybe you need to get down on your face. Maybe you need to get on your knees. Maybe you need to confess to somebody. Maybe you need to come and tell me, I've been struggling. I need you to pray for me. Maybe there's somebody here that's your testimony. Do not miss this chance. The Lord is calling out to you. The way that you are going leads to destruction. Please don't keep going that way. Let's get it right before the Lord today. Don't leave this place without doing that. And for all of us here, how about you and I together stand and declare that we trust God, that we know that He's good. We know He's there even when we don't feel Him. And even more than that, that God's victory is coming, that His healing is coming in our lives in the name of His Son, Jesus. Stand up. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your great love. Thank you, Lord, that all of us, if we look at our lives, Lord, we can see evidence of your mercy. We know we've experienced your rescue. And there may be somebody here this morning who's never experienced that. They've never turned their heart and their life over to you. They've never experienced, God, your great love. And today I pray that they would surrender themselves to you, that they would cry out to you, that they would say, Lord God, I need you. Please rescue me. I give all that I am to you. And that they would experience, Lord, for the first time, your saving love, your rescue. And for those of us who've experienced your rescue, let us remember. Let us remember your goodness, even in these dark days. Let us remember that you have been good to us and that you can be trusted, that your victory is on its way. And help us to declare, God, in faith, that we know that you're good. In Jesus' name.